Black Swamp Radio, the only paranormal radio station with a frog in a blender.
There's a touch of madness around here.
Stench-infested laboratory that smells from the decomposing bodies of tweakers and crackheads that were used during the experimentation for alien research. In an old, ghostly haunted abandoned dwelling with ghosts and specters of all ages, somewhere in the alien-infested Black Swamp of Northwest Ohio, this is Black Swamp Radio Live, and I am your host, Arizona Tramp.
Well, stupid guy was already.
All right, so I'm going to get on with it already. All right, thank you guys. Thank you for showing up for the show. We've got a hell of a show for you tonight. We've got Harold St. John from Toledo Ghost Hunters. He's with us. He's going to talk about some really scary and creepy stuff, I think. I'm not going to talk about it too much. I'm going to touch on Vegas. I'm just going to say this. Everything you have been told about Las Vegas, forget about it. All right, we know the people were shot, but there were multiple shootings, and the story of the millionaire and his girlfriend is BS. That's a cover story. So start digging, people. So what I did is I went to what's called the Collingwood Arts Center, and we had this planned before the Collingwood Arts Center, actually, but I went to the Collingwood Arts Center, and I met Harold, and I met the people from 222 Paranormal and the Toledo Ghost Hunters and all them people, and Toledo Ghost Hunters will be the Halloween show. But I met Harold, and he's a cool dude in person, just like he's a cool dude here on the radio. Everybody loves you, Harold, and he's on the air with me right now. He's just being a good boy, and that's talking much. What else can I say? We had a good time that day, and he still owes me a t-shirt. Welcome to
the
show.
Yes, I do.
Welcome
hey,
to the show.
Thanks for having me on tonight. Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to the Black Swamp Radio. Thanks for having me on, and let's see what we can talk about today, right? But I'm glad to be here, Trap. No kidding.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have you. I'm glad you came back. You know, I was worried there for a little bit because, you know, I messaged people and I didn't hear anything from them. And then people started replying, all except for a few. But
well, I'm glad a couple of them didn't get a hold of you. I'd have been bumped off the show, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, for the people who don't know who you are, let's send them to your website, send them to your Facebook page, and we can start with that.
For any of our followers or guys that really want to find out a little bit more about us, Tampa, they can visit us at our website at togs.org. It's T-O-G-H-S. It's ghost spelled, not really backwards, but it's togs.org. We also have a Facebook page, as you know, because you and I communicate all the time by that. You know, in the last couple of years, I opened up a ghost office. I mean, that's just kind of how big everything's getting now. And we had a phone install, so you can get a hold of us on our phone. get over our case manager if anybody really needs something at 734-224-0003. So there's three great ways to get a hold of us. I may not always be manning the phones, but you know, Becky's always there. She'll return calls or let me know what's going on. In fact, you know as well as I know, and I'm really not sure how all of it works, but you know, you have Twitter, and you know, Tulio Hall Ghost Hunter Society has all that now too, so there's no way that you can't get a hold of us. And you know what I really like, Champ, is I follow your Facebook all the time, but I really enjoy sometimes an evening just getting on Tulio Hall Ghost Hunter's Facebook page, just see what's going on, and people that reply to, you know, all of our activities. It's cool. I like Facebook anymore. Last couple of years, I check it out every day, you know what I mean?
Well, we'll agree to disagree with Facebook, but it's a useful tool. You'd be surprised at some of the people that and what they say on Facebook. It can be a pain in the butt. So, but that phone number is for the Toledo area, for the Black Swamp area. How big of a radius of an area do you work?
Mostly the tri-state area. We get a lot of cases up in Michigan, some in Indiana. We went down to West Virginia a little bit, but the last year or so, it's been mostly, we've been so busy here in Northwest Iowa. You know, we had a road trip planned this summer and really didn't even have time to go. So I wanted to go back down to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, check out the Mothman. And what I really wanted to do, Tramp, was stay down there by Burr Oak and check out the Grassman. I didn't get to do any of the things I wanted to do this year. Just, you know, Toledo Hall Ghost Hunters comes first, so. You know, we had a lot of things going on. We just didn't have a chance. But I plan on going back in the spring, all right? Get down there.
Well, Al and Brian were wanting to check out the Ohio Grassman, too. And so, you know, we all three of us might, or four of us might just get together and meet up and do something.
Well, hey, Tramp, if we ever make it down there, there's a little town outside of Nelsonville, which isn't far from Burr Oak, a little town called Gloucester, Ohio. I had an opportunity to stay in a cabin in Gloucester that a family had turned me on to, said the place was haunted. I met a lady, I don't know, I guess it doesn't matter if I say her name. Her name's Linda Steiger, great lady. There's a spooky old cabin that sits back right at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. We got to spend the weekend there in Gloucester, Ohio. And it's actually made one of, it's going to be one of the chapters in my upcoming book. So that whole area to me is just full of legend and hauntings. You know, you and I can go into Burr Oak looking for Grassman. We have 22 haunted houses to stop by on, you know, on the way. So it's rich in history and full of hauntings. It's all the way down to Athens. I mean, you obviously know that.
Oh yeah, Ohio is got hauntings up the yin yang, and Ohio is. I was watching Channel 30 today, and I found a lot of stuff out about the beginnings of Ohio and how the Indians and the British the colonists, the Americans would fight each other over land, and how Ohio actually at first was just Northwest Ohio, and then because the rest of it was all Indian reservation, and then the white man just kept stealing. and stealing until Ohio became what it is. So there's all kinds of conflict and stuff in the past that we can pick up on for ghosts and so on. And a lot of, you know, the Fort Meigs and the whole nine yards.
Go ahead.
No, go talk.
No, I'm trying to listen to you. I got to say something to all your fans out there. When we were at the Colony Woods Arts Center, and I was doing an interview with some friends of ours, they're friends of yours as well, you reached over there and you said, "I talk too much, so I'm trying to be respectful. I'm letting you talk tonight."
Oh, no. I was giving you some crap, Harold.
Yeah, I know you were. But I didn't want to step on your toes, so I'm just kind of going off your lead. I got some great stories, so, you know.
Well, tonight's your night.
You lead us there.
Well, so, tonight's your night. First off, before we get into that stuff, and I promised people we would, you want to tell me about the class that you'll be teaching at the university with the ghost hunter stuff?
you know, this is a great story here. What a privilege and an honor to do this. About a year ago, my co-founder and I, Butch Leon and I, were contacted by Owens Community College. I think this is groundbreaking. And it wasn't but a couple of days later that one of the local newsrooms contacted us as well and wanted us on the air to talk about it. They're offered a GoSunning 101 class. I had been called, wanted to know if I was interested, would I come to an interview. Butch and I went down for the interview. In about 15 minutes into the interview, they could have stopped it and said, that, you know, could they be excused, left the room, brought another person back with them, and said that I was the one that they wanted, you know, along with Butch. I mean, obviously, groundbreaking. We accepted the position. So we did a course last winter, followed by another course in the spring. It's a fun class. What a great time that is. They've asked me back. So I started classes last Thursday at Owens Community College. Again, I go GoSunning 101. Now, here's the neat thing, Tramp. They've already said, would I do a GoSunning 102 for their winter courses? So I've agreed to do so. Some classes are big. I didn't know how many people the 101 would bring in this fall because this is our third trip doing it. But we have 16 students, and it was funny. After class last Thursday, Butch and I were talking, and Michelle. It's a real intimate class, a bunch of great students. They're really into this. I think what it does, Champ, is it gives me an opportunity, being close to 60 years old now and been doing this for years.
Right.
You know, I disagree with a lot of things. I see things differently. You know, I people still call me kind of old school. But it gives me an opportunity to teach a little bit, maybe educate some do's and don'ts. And the biggest thing to me, Tramp, was trying to explain to the students the difference between ghost hunting and being a paranormal investigator, which the market's flooded, as everybody knows. I'm sure it is from state to state. I was at the Collingwood Arts Center. You and I got a chance to hang out for a while. But did you see all the paranormal groups there?
Oh,
Tramp, over 10 years?
Yeah, I saw the paranormal groups. But that also reminds me of the video that you did where you had tons of orbs. I mean, you could see the flashlight, your buddy. He had the flashlight in his hand. You could tell he had the flashlight in his hand. But the orb, I mean, this orb comes right from the left side by your buddy and goes right over you, in front of you, and it curves up. So it's not a piece of dust.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to hear what you're saying, because you and I can talk forever about one.
I forget exactly what video that was from, because it wasn't from Collingwood Arts Center, I don't think. But the video was amazing. And I just had to interrupt and say that.
No, but but here's the beauty of this. In the class, orbs is one of those. The first class we went over a simple 14 pretty common types of hauntings, and orbs was one of them. And we had showed some pictures. Tramp, the way I approach this, anything that can be recreated or debunked in any way, shape, or form, I have to debunk it. I have to call it, somewhat normal. And orbs is one of them. There's a huge controversy that's been going on for years with orbs because, you can recreate it with dust particles, mist, vapor. There's so many different ways. So I was playing a joke with everybody in the class when I was showing them about the orbs. That particular video you were talking about was from the Pemberville Opera House that we got to spend the evening down there last Saturday.
Right.
And I think Becky was, or Butch was doing some live feed. So
yeah, I remember.
Is it an orb? I mean, you were the first one that said, Harold, Jesus, look what you captured.
There's so many orbs. There's so many orbs in there, dude. And I watched a video of a mouse caught in a trap. And
I've when seen that mouse, video.
Yeah, you saw the video. We talked about this last time. And in the video, as soon as the mouse expires, an orb comes up out of the mouse and goes up. When I saw that, I had absolutely no question in my mind what it was. So
That particular video, I agree with you. Here's the thing, Tramp. in class. This class has given me a platform and a stage to talk about the ghost hunting versus paranormal investigating. There's a couple of things, and orbs are one of those topics that I can separate, that they are great when you're ghost hunting. Let's take Mansfield Reformatory, for instance. Right. If you and I are going down there, we're going on a ghost hunt, it doesn't matter the location, but that would be one of them. They've already did all the research. They tell us what rooms, what cells are haunted, what type of ghosts we're going to be dealing with. And only thing you and I have to do is bring some of our equipment in and to capture orbs. And the other two things I brought up was the SP7 Spirit Box as well as the Ovilus. I own both of them. And I'm serious about this. Because it's huge right now with all these paranormal groups out there. I don't want to say too much over the radio, but I had a case a week or so ago where a very nice lady, called me. She had one of these new paranormal groups in a couple of times doing an investigation. And they had told her that she had had a couple of demons in the home. Well, my first thought was, why do you need more than one? Until they realized how rare demons are, you probably will never see one in your lifetime unless, you know, you're doing seances or Ouija boards. I just didn't believe anything this group was saying. And then they told the lady that there was other spirits in the house and a couple of portholes because of these orbs that they saw floating around, as well as it said demon on the Ovilus 3. And we all know that the Ovilus 3 works off of electromagnetic fields, the fluctuations, and it's 2,500 pre-programmed words into this Ovilus. Well, Tramp, guess what words are programmed into that? Demon, death, murder.
Right.
So every dark word you could come up with.
Right.
The other thing was an SP7 spirit box they were using that scans FM and AM radio stations. You can do it up to 350 stations a minute. But okay, so in ghost hunting, those things are awesome. If you and I were in the cell block, east cell block, and it was dark, and we were in one of the cells, and our Ovilus said demon, or the spirit box said ghost, or we saw a bunch of orbs floating around, we got a pretty darn good hunting going on. But we can't take that into a private residence where people are afraid. Do you really want me to tell a family member of yours that their house is haunted because we saw orbs that we can also recreate with dust, or a pre-programmed box said demon, or better yet, an FM radio station said Uncle Fred's here? We need to separate, you know, ghost hunting from paranormal investigating.
And yes,
paranormal
we do.
Paranormal investigating, this is huge to me. Paranormal investigating, and Butch and Becky and Michelle, right down the line, agree with me 100%. We have to be compassionate. We have to be honest. We have to have some integrity here. So we discount orbs. They don't count. The Ovilus doesn't count because it's all pre-programmed dark words. I wanted you to come up with an Ovilus that says love, peace, marriage, children, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and then let's go into a cellar and see if this Ovilus will say Santa Claus loves you.
Well, I'm sure we could find somebody that could program that, but we kind of got away from your class real quick, okay? Tell us about the class.
Anyways, that's what I'm teaching in class. First of all, the types of hauntings, we'll go over them. The equipment that is used during these types of hauntings, the difference between ghost hunting and paranormal investigating, and Trap, this even gets greater. That's the first class. The second class, and you know him as well as I do, and I've had an opportunity to work with him a couple times this year, well, several times this year, with Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo.
Yeah.
He's coming in as one of my guest speakers, and he's talking about legends and folklore, basically paranormal fact or fiction. And for instance, the Gibbs Bridge in Berkeley, Ohio. You know, is it haunted? Is it not haunted? And he's done some two-minute tales, Legends of Ohio. Some of these things, these stories have just grown over the years, and there's no fact to them whatsoever. So some of them, yes, are haunted. Most of them are not. So we'll be going over that in the second class. And then the next class, our case manager and my partner, Becky McClellan, comes in. And this is really cool. It's how to take on a case from beginning to end, first contact to closing of the case, which could end with Michelle doing a you know, house blessing or blessing or even an eviction. So, you know, having all your notes in a row, do your research, roll up your sleeves and go to work when you're dealing with a private paranormal investigation. You may do 40, 50, 60 hours of work before you ever end up on location. And there's a huge difference. And
A huge difference between someone who actually knows what they're doing and someone who just goes in with an RF meter and a tape recorder.
And, sure.
And I, by the way, I know what group you were talking about. I'm not going to mention their name either.
Well, but, you and I briefly talked about that. And, you know, I'm not going to mention their name either, but I could not sleep that night, Tramp. I just couldn't sleep, and I didn't know how to approach it. So I decided to stay calm. Sometimes Butch and Becky can calm me down. Sometimes it takes them 24 hours, and they just keep telling me, don't say anything, don't do anything for 24 hours, you know, and you'll find a way. I mean, I want to be an educator. I want to be a teacher. You know, I want to be respected, my group to be respected, and I think we are. But listen, it's pure documentation without a shadow of a doubt. And I think EVPs, recordings, are a great way to document some evidence, as well as video. I mean, that's why they make full-spectrum cameras now. I mean, Tramp, I've had a couple cameras rolling in my house the last couple weeks. I think Becky's brought something home from one of our last investigations. I mean, we got doors opening, water being turned on. Last night, one of the trap cameras set up, you know, some shadowy figures in front of my camera. I mean, are hauntings real? Absolutely, they're rare, but they're very real. But I'm not going to show Becky orbs and try to make her believe that, well, that's a ghost or, you know what I mean?
Talk to me after the show. I can tell you. Well, you probably know how to handle it, but you know, I can talk with you after the show.
Sure.
And
sure,
no. Okay, so that is what your classes are about. And
right.
Let's see, we've talked about Collingwood Arts a little bit. And anything else? What are you going to do next? What are you going to?
Well, we can wrap up the whole class thing by the last class. We are going to go on a field trip to a local haunted location, and I don't know if I can say the location or not because I don't want to start trouble with anybody. But you know what? Kudos to them for jumping right in. They're excited about us having a class at Owens. They want to be part of it. So this will be the third time out taking our class on a field trip to a local haunted location. And that's what's really cool. I mean, here's the thing, Tramp. You know as well as I do, everybody wants a good haunted story, a good scary story. So the class is going great. I'm going to do 102 come December. And here we go, okay? So that's at Owens Community College if anybody's interested, okay? There's still plenty of room for Ghost Hunting 102. You can get a hold of them if you're interested in taking the class. And I'd love to have you aboard. So it's hands-on for sure, okay? So,
yeah.
So you asked me what am I up to. It's October. It's the witching season. Every September and October, we get very busy. And I'm not complaining. I like it. But we just spent the weekend down in Pemberville, Ohio. We just got an opportunity to do the Opera House. A guy by the name of Jim Fields invited us in. What a stamp. I wish you could have been there. This building was built in the mid-1800s.
Well, tell me about it, man.
And listen, I walked in there, and just, you know, Becky sets up these investigations, and you know, this was just one of those ones that she picked a hot spot. There were still actors and actresses that signed the walls in the 1800s. Their names were on the walls. But there's been reports of shadow figures on the stage and voices and footsteps. Obviously, my group was still analyzing everything, so it wouldn't be fair for me to say we captured it. That being said, Butch had called me yesterday and said, hey, listen, I got one of the DVR cameras and we're looking at it and some curtains were moving. So I got to get a hold of Jim down there and make sure that nothing can make those really heavy curtains move. But he said I was standing right there and the curtains were moving right by me. Yet to be proven, but interesting. But we had a great time. Just, you know, it's an old historical building. So is it haunted? I mean, everybody says it is. Do I have any proof of haunting? No, but maybe I will in a week or two, okay? As soon as I just get done analyzing everything. You know, as you know, analyzing takes hours and hours and hours. So,
oh, man, does it ever. Does it ever take hours and hours and hours? I'm listening to you. You go ahead and you talk. I had to let the dogs in the room because it started pouring out rain, and now the rain's done.
Yeah, so. It's raining here. My cat just Crockett just come up and jumped up by me, so you may hear a cat in the background. You can't control this cat. This cat is possessed, right?
Yeah.
For sure. I know he is. So, anyways, we got to do the Pemberville Opera House. We're going back down to Pemberville this coming Saturday, the group and I is. We had picked up a private resident down there. I'm not even sure. I don't remember the address, but there's a lot of reports coming out of that house. Apparently, there may have been a suicide victim and some other things going on there. Becky's working tonight, so I don't have her notes, but we're going back down there this Saturday for an investigation. You want to hear my week? I know you're busy, and I'm sure everybody else who's listening is just as busy.
Yeah, I want to hear your week.
Here's my week. Last Thursday, I had class. Friday, we're getting ready for an investigation. Saturday, we're down in Pemberville for the night. Sunday, and I, as you know, I'm doing, and you've helped me with this because I can remember you telling me you got to turn your volume up, you got to do this and do that. On Sundays now, every Sunday at 7 p.m. on the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Facebook page, I do a half an hour show called Ghost Talk.
Right.
And, you know, we bring up a certain topic, and so Sunday I did Ghost Talk. it's just, you know, in between all this, I'm trying to write my book to come out this year. I'm hoping I can do it. We did investigation. Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo invited me over for an investigation at the Toledo Yacht Club. So 2 weeks ago, I got to do the Toledo Yacht Club. So I'm still investigating and ghost hunting. Just a couple times a week, it seems like. So we got a busy weekend again coming. So, you know, I'm on the radio with you tonight, which I'm very thankful for. Tomorrow class, Saturday, Pemberville private investigation, Sunday's ghost talk again. Monday, I'm at the Birmingham Library in Hunkytown. I start my presentations. I do a bunch of public presentations, our programs. And, you know, which is really cool. It's on the Facebook page. You know, stop in for a chilling evening of true ghost stories. Ooh, it's Halloween stuff. But we have, I think, 16 presentations that are booked already from now till Halloween. I'm going to finish up at the Sylvania Historical Society, which is always great. And then I'm going to hook back up with Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo. We're going to do something together. Since we've done 4 or 5 investigations together this year, we're going to do a big Halloween thing and work with a local food bank, so maybe bring out a can of food. But we're going to join forces to give a big Halloween presentation at the Springfield Township Hall. So I'm at several different libraries and nursing homes, and I like doing that. I like going up sharing ghost stories. So we're doing something every day or every other day from now till Halloween. And there's no getting around it.
I want
to ask you, too. You made it down to Collingwood, which I didn't think you would. Are you going to step out to the Paracon 2017 at Owens Community College on the 21st?
If I am
Al
able...
Luna from...
Oh, no, no, no. The 21st, I have to be the one to perform a hand fasting for Kelly's son and his girlfriend out in the backyard at the fire pit.
I've been invited... Well, you know, I got a vendor table. The group likes doing that. They set up your table and show some videos and get to meet a lot of different people. It is a fun thing. And, you know, they got to tour the Collingwood Arts Center. Al Luna from PSEI is doing the Paracon 2017. Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters or something is coming out to do the investigation that night back at the Yacht Club, Toledo Yacht Club. One of the keynote speakers that afternoon. So I was going to rope you into coming in. You have to sit down and listen to me.
for my
35 minutes of fame.
Harold, I'm sorry, but family, you know, I'm the one that's marrying these people off. I have to be here.
Listen, you're the only guy I know that's busier than me. So,
well, I'm not.
It's a busy October.
I'm busy, but I'm not. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, it's like, dude.
I get it. You're busy, so.
Well,
you know what? Your show's busy all year. I will get a break. You know, come November, I'll wrap up the first week of November. I think we have a couple more presentations because we couldn't book them all, so they booked us after Halloween. time for right. their you know, for some of our presentations, ghost talk presentations.
And,
going into Christmas, things will go quiet.
Well,
you know as well as I. Go ahead.
I went to Collingwood Arts Center because I wanted to meet you and the rest of the team, and I wanted to meet Dead in Five. Okay, but I didn't get the chance. She had just walked out the door when I got there, or she must have just left before I pulled in, because when I pulled in, there was nobody leaving. So that kind of like, but that's why I paid $15 to get into there. And was cool.
I liked it. This was the second time there. This was the second annual. Last year, I was one of the speakers there, which was kind of cool. And that's where I met a couple of these other groups that I've been working with this year. You know, and I said something earlier, Tramp, and I didn't want to be so negative with the market being flooded now and all these groups here. There are some really good ones that I've had an opportunity to work with. And right. You had mentioned him earlier. You know, Joe from 222 Paranormal. Joe and Jen are good people. I can never get a hold of the guy. I think he works second shift. He does his videotaping sometimes in the middle of the night.
Yeah, he does.
You know, did I tell you that I got really lucky this year? Jim Beard from Tony Packles and I had sat down and talked. He wanted to know if I would be interested in investigating Tony Packles, you know, and all the reports. You know, of hauntings that were going on, the shadow figures, voices in the basement. You know, and you know me.
Yeah.
I like a good meal too. So I got to go down to Packles and have a great big meal, wait for the place to close, and I hooked up with Joe and Jen from 222 Paranormal, as well as Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo. We had spent the night at Tony Packles. And come on, that's one of the legendary restaurants everybody's got to know that. Jamie Farr talked about it on MASH all the time, you know, referred back to Packles.
Yeah.
You know, and Tillman had said it perfectly. They were famous for their hot dogs, but I think they were more famous for their ghost. We talk about orbs. Oh, my God.
I didn't even know that Packles was haunted until you guys started talking about it. Honestly.
I was shocked. I mean, I heard little things about it here and there. I never paid much attention. Tramp, here's a unique thing. Jennifer from 222 Paranormal, myself, and my public outreach director, Michelle Mattis, were all down in the cellar where they were, you know, seeing shadows and hearing children playing. All three of us simultaneously thought we heard a child talk. I was playing tag, or hide and seek, I'm sorry, down in the cellar with they said a child spirit. None of our recorders ever picked it up. Still to this day, Butch Leon disagrees with me, my founder. He was sitting there in one of his cameras, about one of those big, heavy, 150, 200-pound chandeliers swaying back and forth. And Chris Tillman and I said we thought it was, you know, air conditioning units or something. And so Butch went down. You know, you talk about, you know, analyzing. Butch had went back down a couple of days later and sat there for an hour, you know, eating a hot dog and drinking iced tea, and kept his eye on that chandelier and never moved. I mean, is it paranormal? I don't
Who
really
knows?
Know.
All I but know is that when you're working with the paranormal, anything you expect or you want to happen isn't going to happen. It's like it's going to be something that it's going to be off the cuff, off the wall, spur of the moment, right then and there, and you either catch it or you don't catch it. And that's my experience with it. You know.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. You know, Tramp, I always said if it was that easy to communicate, you know, with people from the other side, Tramp, I wouldn't even have time to be on the radio with you tonight. I'd be talking to, you know, I have a couple of brothers that passed away. I'd love to talk to them. My father, who I miss horribly, it just doesn't work that way. I haven't heard from my brothers at all. But it doesn't mean it's not true. And Tramp, let's look at this. We were talking about how haunted Ohio is. I'm sure everyone knows where Athens is. It's a kind of a sleepy little community down in southeastern Ohio.
Right.
It's still to this day ranked the 13th most haunted city in the United States.
Are you going to start about the cemetery there in Athens? Is that where that's at?
No. You know, I did that city over a course of 3 or 4 years. And sometimes you go down there, and I'd spend 3 or 4 days and walk away with nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then I'd go down there. Well, I was down there one time with Butch in the old Beacon School for the Mentally Retarded. The building's tore down now. It was the TB ward up at the top of the ridges. And Butch was shoved. I mean, he fell down 4 feet down. He was shoved. What did it? It had to be paranormal. We had him on videotape, and I mean, it was horrible to watch. Was it a kid? I don't even know what type of haunt it was. But we were in that building, picked up some great EVPs. You talk about haunted locations. You said something about the cemeteries, the 5 cemeteries that built the pentagram.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Google Earth, that's a perfect pentagram. Right down to a tenth of a mile that covers the city. Is that paranormal? I don't know, but it sure makes for a great story, doesn't it? I
mean, it does make for a great story. And, I just lost it. But anyway.
No, I talk too much. I'm leading you away from all the things you want to ask.
No, Harold, my mind does that from time to time. You know,
that's not paranormal, Tramp. That's something else.
That's getting old.
Yeah,
that's old age.
I don't know why I even said something about Athens besides just being down there all those times. We talk about hauntings and like a light switch, you know, something being haunted or not being haunted. Geez, I go to the same building over and over again.
Yeah.
I can be there, you know, 8 times and one time, you know, all your machinery is going off, you're capturing EVPs. People that aren't there, I mean, disembodied voices talking to you. And then you go down for another weekend, and you got nothing, man. Just nothing. But, you know, maybe you might hit the diner uptown or something. Or, you know, Court Street's got a lot of pubs down there. Maybe stop to get a drink or something. That's the only spirit you're going to deal with that weekend, right?
Yeah. Patty is asking in the chat room, why did they do everything in the dark on the paranormal TV shows? Do they have to? Do you? If so, why? And they do that for effect on the TV shows. Everything on the TV shows you can write off as entertainment, because 99% of that is garbage.
You know what? That's basically a true statement. But if I can say just a little something about
it.
First of all, Patty, that's a great question. I get asked that all the time. If a place is haunted, it's haunted. And it's haunted during the day. It's haunted in the afternoon, it's haunted in the evening, and it's haunted. Yes, it makes for great effects, but here's the other thing, Tramp. The equipment that they're using, the full spectrum cameras and the AR cameras, would be one reason why they investigate at night, because they can see through the darkness.
Right.
And the other thing is the contamination level goes down 80% at night.
Yes, it does.
The EMF,
the Wi-Fi,
right.
the radios, it used to be CB radios was a big problem with it, and not any longer. Nobody does CB except for a few of us. And
it doesn't surprise me, the knowledge you have of paranormal investigating. The contamination's down. It's easier to pick up things on your equipment. And yes, Fanny, it's a lot cooler to be in a dark cellar or a death tunnel. When it's pitch black, it is great effects. But I have learned over the years, it's a lot easier on the equipment to capture anything that could possibly be paranormal. What do you want to call that, Jeff? The slower hours of the day? I mean, yes, the darker, but we've had a lot more success.
It's just the quieter hours. You know, anything after 10 o'clock, you know, it's quiet, and you don't have interference. You don't have kids outside playing. You don't have
contamination.
So much of the way they play their music these days in a lot of locations with the thumping stuff. I mean, they got their stereos up so loud. If a car drives past and the echo goes just right, you could pick that up, only one word out of that song, and you think that you might have caught something. You know, that's why it's better to do it at night.
Contamination. But you know what? Here's another thing. I like investigating in the winter when there's been some snow, because you know how quiet things get. And any sounds you can pick up, the dogs, the animals are even quieter at night. You know, I've investigated hundreds of times in the afternoon, and what when you're analyzing, it's so hard to decipher what could have been a voice or what could have been this is something that just happened outside. I like investigating in the quieter times as well, and obviously it's dark out at that time. So, but the answer to your question is, if your place is haunted, it's going to haunt when it wants to haunt. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, my place. Harold knows about my place. I've told him he's got to come out here and bring Toledo Paranormal with you. The girls already said that they wanted to come out and check it out.
Awesome.
It's like today I haven't smelled the guy since I first moved in, but today I smelled the guy walking around. We have an old guy that's dead that's here. We have a kitten that you can't find, but it's been a kitten now for a year. You hear it out the window. Kelly, she's supposed to get off of work at a certain time or something like that. We will hear her pull in 10 minutes. Me and Willow both will hear her pull in, and the dogs will look out the window, hear her pull in and slam the car door shut. Nobody's there. Or during the middle of the day, the same thing. Or it's freaky, man. The thermostat will get turned up and down. It's freaky, you know.
You just talk about animal spirits. I thought that you said that. I was talking to another guy a couple of days ago about he had asked me, you know, what I felt about the animal spirits. This is a police system, and I could be wrong. I don't really have any scientific proof. Animals have souls, and they come back as well. I mean, I think everything does. It's capable of it. But he was telling me about how they lost the dog, and he was just heartbroken. He started hearing the dog, you know, scratch at the back door. The dog was visiting. I mean, I don't want to call that a haunting. I mean, yeah, the dog was haunting, but I think it was more of a visit than anything else.
Yeah.
A lot of truth to that.
Last week, Harold, it's about this time of night last week, and it was when it was still 90 degrees out during the day, you know. All of a sudden, the neighbors go out. I go out. The dogs are like, they are pissed off. They are so pissed off, and they're barking. But they're barking like they're afraid, like they're gonna attack something. That's the way they're acting. And I got shepherds, guys. All right. So I walk out. I grab my flashlight. You know, it's one of those flashlights that is like a car headlight. And I point it towards where the sound is going. This sound, I don't know if you know what a coon sounds like, if it's in pain or something.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, take that sound and magnify it 20 times. It was so loud. We don't know. We saw it was bigger than a cat walk away. When the noise stopped, it crossed the street and went into the cornfield.
Wow.
But something was in agony, like it was being eaten alive or something. It was so far out. And the dogs, they just go nuts. I mean, all the time at stuff like that around here. I mean, but anyway.
Isn't it funny? You know what else I've learned over the years? And this is kind of scientific, but, animals, their spectrum of light is much different than ours. And not just dogs, I mean animals in general.
Yeah, it is.
They're seeing a much wider spectrum, and they always say that, you know, spirits, you know, move about in that spectrum that, you know, we consider infrared or full spectrum, and that's where ghosts are seeing. And so I've often heard.
Well,
they're
a cat,
seeing things that you and I can't.
A cat will look at the wall and see a ghost. Yeah, or something like that. I have had a cat, one of my old cats who's passed, I have felt the cat get up on my bed and walk up and lay down next to me. You know, even though I felt it. You know what a cat feels like when they jump up on the bed and they walk over the covers and it's just the footprints the feet coming down, you know, I mean.
Well, and here's the other thing, Trap. You know, we talk about spirit souls or spirit hauntings from animals. I have something unique going on, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it because, you know, being a paranormal investigator over, you know, 40 years, these things happen to you. Something gets attached, you forgot to do a closing prayer or detach yourself from a place, and sometimes things can follow you home, and obviously when that happens, you react quickly by, know, blessing or cleansing your own home. And you can do it Christian, Native American. I don't want to argue about that. But there's something that's been in this house. And talking about animals, here's how upsetting this is. Becky had come home, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and she has a border collie, Katie, great dog, by the way, locked in the bathroom, cowering in the bathtub. I don't know how she got herself in the bathroom and closed the door. Well, it wasn't, but a couple of days later, I'm looking for the, Becky works at night, I work in the afternoon, so she had left, you know, let's say 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. I had gotten home from work about midnight, and I can't find the cat. I couldn't find the cat all night. I'm outside calling for Crockett. That's our cat. Still couldn't find him. I went to bed. I was a little bit shaken. I said, boy, I hope he's okay. Well, in the morning, I heard some meowing. Something locked him in the hallway closet. These animals are absolutely reacting to something in the house. So the animals always give us our first clue if there is something in the house, much before our cameras can catch it or our recorders. But we were watching the animals and that stuff going down. Well, it wasn't but a couple of nights later, Becky was laying in bed. It's still quite awake. She felt the breath of a man that said in her ear, "It's Steve, help me." Okay, well, there's a haunting because, you know, we're going to have the house cleansed this week, so I'm hoping it'll be gone. But, you know, speaking of animals, not only can they visit us from the other side, they are much more aware of hauntings in our home than you and I will ever be. I mean, you talk about psychic mediums or, you know, beacons or, you know, there's many names for psychics.
Oh,
animals,
boy,
are your best ghost hunters.
I always...
Ghost hunters, yeah, Jason from Ghost Hunters always used to bring a dog with him off and on. And I always thought, well, that's kind of silly. The dog's going to be a pain in the butt and be in the way. But this time that our house is having some activity in it, our animals are the best tools. There's every bit, if not better, than the EVP machine or something that registers EMS. All you do is watch the animals, Tramp.
I always pay attention to the animals inside the house and outside the house. I built a cairn, you know, the stacked rocks. I built a cairn outside, and I've been waiting. I've been just waiting. But it's been standing now for 6 weeks. It hasn't fallen yet.
I saw that. You were posting pictures of that, I think.
Yeah.
Where'd you get all your material for that?
Oh, in the back by the swamp.
I was going to say, it looks like you picked up stuff from here, there, and everywhere. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did. I do that, man, because, you know, it'll be one of those days where I have absolutely nothing to do, so I'll go out there to the swamp. It's freaky out there, even bright, sunny day. It's freaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We all have a place that we go to that just gives us the chills. I mean, everybody has a location like that, but, Trap, you keep going back there for a reason, something's calling you. You're always going to take something from there that you can make a part of your life. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it's freaky, but it's peaceful. But anyhow, by the way, we can go as long as you want to. There's only 10 minutes left, whichever you want to go. But I do want at least to get one good ghost story out of you.
Well, I'm gonna give you a choice. I'm gonna put some of these in my presentations this year. So before I do go, I do want to share one story that, you know, that's a real haunting. I mean, a lot of these things that, you know, the Tony Pacos, the Toledo Yacht Club, some of those places, I mean, they're legendarily haunted. But I can't come on the air, Tramp, and especially being a friend of yours, I for surely can't lie to you. Did I walk away with unfounded, unprecedented, absolute proof of haunting? No, I didn't. But I want to tell you, I had the best time of my life doing this. And I want to give a shout out to Butch, okay?
Yeah.
Butch couldn't be here tonight. He's got some family things going on, and, you know, God bless him. Butch and I have been together now 18 years this fall. I hope he's listening tonight. I can't say it enough times. That guy has taught me more about being a paranormal investigator or a ghost hunter or both. You know, we bounce back and forth of what we're doing. I am so grateful to him. you know, Butch, and I shouldn't say this, but Butch is turning 70 now. We just don't have that many years left. I'm sure hoping that him and I can go down this last stretch of a half a dozen years. You know, we're doing the funniest things now. Tony Back goes to the Yacht Club. All these places we would never do because we were paranormal investigators, and we never went to these places. And I always said, if you called me and you have absolute proof of a haunting in the cemetery for me to come out right away, that the ghost would be waiting for me, I just wouldn't come, Tramp. I don't like ghosts that much. Does that make sense? But the past couple of years with our road trips, spending time, you know, Tramp, you met my group. You didn't get to meet Becky or Michelle down at Collingwood. You're going to have to meet them. My core members of the group, Tramp, are just, you know, the greatest people in the world. Becky's our case manager. She handles everything. She knows when to hug a client. She knows when to call bullshit. I don't know if I should say that word on the air.
You can say it. Go for it.
Well, I already did. She, you know, she's a nurse. She knows about the medications. She's perfect for our group. I'm heartbroken. I lost our director of youth education, my nephew Jake. He's gone on to college now. He's coming back to do an investigation with me, I think, a week from Saturday, so I'll get to see him again. You know, days are passing, years are going by now. I've had more fun this year teaching at Owens. I don't want to say teaching, instructing at Owens, getting my foot in the door of all these public locations that are supposedly legendarily haunted. And I still have an opportunity, which I feel that I can help people, you know, on the private level, doing private investigations where you can't mention names, you can't give out addresses.
Right.
You know, we can't talk about, I mean, you and I could off air, and I can say, hey, Tramp, you know, this is going on that, you know, what do you think my approach should be, or what do I do next? But we can't talk about any of these things on social media. You know, Butch and I, 18 years, I think Butch is having, you know, as much fun as I am. We're surrounded by great people. You had asked me a couple weeks ago when I told you I was looking for a researching person for the group. You know, we've gotten a couple people, and Becky and Michelle have interviewed a few people. I don't, you know, it scares people away. I don't think they realize, Tramp, how much work goes into doing a research on a location.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no doubt.
20, 30 hours, you know. To take on a simple five-hour investigation, you have 150 hours in. It's still fun. I don't know how many more years we got left.
There's still, it would be nice to have somebody go back to the funeral home on East Broadway. That's where me and Kelly.
Talking about the old,
yeah, that's where me and Kelly did our. That's where I caught all my EVPs and we did our stuff. And it's now a daycare. But
that was haunted, Tramp. That was definitely haunted.
That was haunted to the point. But I'm going to tell you what. There are some things about that weren't kosher either. The wiring was all.
Yeah.
I don't know who did the wiring in that thing, but it was all screwed up. And
I think it was Uncle Bill.
It might have been.
He was a family member. Yeah, family member.
It might have been. And but anyhow, I promised these people out here listening to us that they were going to get some ghost stories.
Okay, well, listen, I can share a couple of these. We had one in the Five Points area, and I can say the guy's first name. His name is Ian, and his wife Molly. Great couple. He's going to be on Ghost Talk in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to tell that one. But I want to listen on Ghost Talk, and you're allowed to jump in like you always do and give me some criticism. It's good positive criticism.
You do a good job. You just need to put I have a mic closer to you is all.
Tramp, you know me well enough that you don't have to lie to me. I suck at it, okay? But I'm having fun, and that's what's important. But I want to talk about, and this is going to be in the book as well. So I want to back on your radio in the first year to talk about this book. You know, I'm hoping that the book is successful. It's not about making the money, but it's talking about 40 years of being a paranormal investigator and some of the things that, you know, the cases that meant to me. And some of them, Tramp, as you know, I'm still haunted to this day. So that being said, we had a client's daughter 6 weeks ago that was talking about demons and had some problems, and before I could reach out to her and really give her any help, she jumped off a 10-story building in Chicago. Some of these some of these cases, Tramp, will haunt you for the rest of your life. You want to talk about hauntings? I would listen. I'd rather take on a demon in a death tunnel down in the Athens Asylum any day of the week than to go through some of the hauntings that you feel on some of these cases. But that being said, this doesn't have a great ending. But everybody got through it. So are we ready? Are you going to fasten your seatbelt? I have one for you.
Fasten your seatbelts. Turn the lights out. Stick the flashlights up to your lights up to your faces so everybody can look at each other. And open a cold one and sit back and listen.
Right. I'm going to leave you with a Halloween story. In the Five Points area, there was four young girls that had graduated from high school, and they all signed up to go to the University of Toledo. So they were all oncoming freshmen, and they were all looking for a place to live. And you know how expensive dorms and houses can be around campus area.
Right.
They found a nice little place on Windhurst to move into, and they all decided to move in together. Well, you know, how scary that is for four young girls to be moved away from home, where you know their mom and especially their dad isn't there to protect them.
No, because I'm not a girl.
Well, you know what I mean. They're worried about school. They're worried about this and that. So, anyways, Becky gets a call, and I didn't hear about it right first. I think she was talking to Butch about it first, and then it got to me. Well, these four young girls, and some of these claims were just crazy. The attic door at night would shake horribly, violently, and the door handle would wiggle as if something wanted out of the attic. They saw shadow figures in the bedroom at night that would stand in the doorway and approach them while they were sleeping and would wake them up, and I think it was there just to scare them. Kitchen cupboards being ripped off the walls. You know, you had footsteps, shadow figures, poltergeist type of activity, and the door was scarier than hell. So the girls were petrified, just simply petrified. They didn't even know what to do. So they reached out to us. We took this case on as quickly as we could. Butch and Becky went over for the interview. Butch and I went over for a baseline reading. Butch goes in and measures all the EMFs, and he has equipment to do all that scientifically. That way, the night of the investigation, we could see if anything was different. The father come in when the girls called him in the middle of the night. The father come in. He literally duct taped the whole door around the framing, right? To see what might happen. Well, that night, the door was rattling and banging, and the door blew up. It just ripped the tape right off the whole seal. I mean, duct tape. Is this true? I mean, Tramp, something scared the hell out of me, all right? There's things I don't like. You know, ghost hunting can be quite scary at times. So we go over, we set up the investigation time, just to try to see what, if there's any way at all we could, you know, help them. You know, Tramp, in the back of our minds, we're hoping that we capture some evidence. But at that time, I didn't think the girls were crazy. You know, these girls were absolutely scared out of their minds. So Butch goes in, and we're sending him and one of our other members up to the attic where this thing, on a nightly basis, was trying to get out. Butch had taken two or three steps up to the attic, and right off the bat, thank God he had his recorder on. You know, when you're doing a session, you say, hey, this is Butch Leon, this is session one, it's 9:02 in the evening, I'm on Windhurst,
right.
And I'm in the attic. Before you could say anything, you had this voice come across. It was Class A EVP, and I had this, we have a YouTube channel, Toledo How Ghost Hunters. These audio clips are on there. This voice comes across and says, hurry. Jesus, God. I mean, right off the bat, Tramp, this entity, this ghost, this haunting, couldn't wait for Butch to get up to the attic, freaking confronting. So Butch takes another five or six steps before he can reach the attic. This thing screams. This could be one of my presentations, too. Absolutely. He does a session. Becky and I go down to the cellar. And you know, I'm an EVP king. I don't know if you know that or not. Well, here's the truth, Tramp. There was something bad in the attic. So where does Harold go? He goes to the basement, the opposite of the house. That's how I roll, baby. I said butching after him, right? So, you know, I had a quiet session. I think we went 30 or 40-minute sessions and take a 10-minute break, regroup. I got nothing. And then we switched, right?
Well, right.
Becky and I go up to the attic, and Butch and the other member goes to the cellar. I could just tell this thing was kind of watching Becky, if that makes any sense. And we go to the house. The cupboard doors were never ripped off in front of us or anything. The girls stayed with us, but they were out in the garage attacked, and they didn't want no part of the investigation, but they just kind of wanted it. I think they felt better knowing that we were there trying to document some things. So even a couple of their parents were there. All through the night, we were capturing EVPs. This thing was mocking us. It may sound funny, but it was burping. It was giggling at different times. We captured so many different EVPs that night. So we get to the end of the night, right?
Yeah.
And we call dead time. You can call it communication time, dead time, call whatever you want. But I called the whole group down to the living room. I have my cameraman running a handheld full spectrum camera watching me as I do my last session. I was going to be the one talking first. And this thing, it's not only does it show itself in the video, they took the videotape in and had it analyzed by our photographer, Fred, who's been doing this for years, dissected it, and he blew it up 300 times. He turned it into a negative. He did this and did that. And when I talked to him, he had said, I don't know how to explain it. I said, well, what do you mean? What is it? He said, well, you're a ghost hunter. What do you think it is? I said, come on, Fred. 20 years, you never told me something was an outright ghost. He said, Harold, this thing is a ghost. It's 80% transparent. It looks really wickedly scary. And it doesn't matter what I do with it. And I got more news for you, Harold. That wasn't the first time it showed up in the cameras. We're in a pitch dark room. You're looking at a 2-inch little screen. This thing showed up throughout the house looking into the cameras.
Really?
I got to see those pictures. Oh, yeah. I'd like to show them to you. But here's the big thing. We sit down for dead time. And once again, Becky's getting ready to turn on her recorder. Thank God our other member turned on the camera. And all you hear is plain as day. And you know what an EVP is, electronic voice phenomenon.
Yes.
To get one word is amazing. Wouldn't you agree? To say, like if it said tramp. You know, what is my name? And it says tramp.
I've got EVPs of whole sentences.
Yep, here you go. Here's one of them. Class A EVP. It says, Becky, I'm here in the attic. You can't come in, you stupid students. Oh, my God, this is an intelligent entity that's following us around in this house. It's being nasty to Butch. It's now defying Becky and telling her, you're not coming back up to the attic. And then scolded the girls. Well, Tramp, what do you do as a group? What do we do as the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society when we, after analyzing, walked away with all this documentation that proved the haunting, and obviously quite negative, it was tearing cupboards off and acting like a poltergeist? Was it a demon? Absolutely not.
No.
But as you know, positive and negative energy, it was a bully in life. It was a negative energy in life, and that's what it was in the end. And it was there to petrify the girls and make it look like something even much darker than what it already was. Well, listen, Tramp, we went in and cleansed this house. We went back and cleansed it again. Michelle had to go back and do an eviction.
Eviction is about right, because Sage ain't going to freaking cut it.
No. She threw everything but the kitchen sink in this thing. Here's the thing, Tramp. All these hundreds of cases that we've done, we've helped people, we've closed a lot of cases. Eventually, these four girls had no choice, but with their parents demanding it, they moved out of the home. The thing just wouldn't let go. It would go quiet for a few weeks. And some members of my group said that the girls were doing Ouija boards and seances. I'm not so sure of that. The only thing I can tell you for sure is it just didn't go away. And the girls ended up having to leave the home rather than have to stay one more night in that house with this thing that we captured. And I'll show that to you. I'll put it on Facebook if people want me to, right?
Well, yeah, so, sure. That would work.
Was that a good enough ghost story, or do you want something a little darker?
You can go a little this dark. You can do what you want.
No, I just, most cases are not like that. Becky, this next one that I'm going to talk about on our Ghost Talk show, was about a, and I'll make real quick of this one. The guy was a bully. He had committed suicide down in the basement. The neighbors didn't like him. He had restraining orders against him, a criminal record a mile long. And he was picking on this guy's wife. She was so afraid, Tramp, that she worked during the day. Her husband worked in the afternoon. And when she got home, at, you know, off work at 5 o'clock, she would wait till about almost close to 11 when she knew her husband was getting off at 11. And she would go in the house about 5 minutes before he arrived home and act like she'd been there the whole night. But she was being held down in bed, choked, saw the visions of a 10-year-old Asian boy, you know, at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
Being scratched, pulled, and attacked in the shower. You know, a shower is a personal thing for a woman, as you know.
Yeah.
We investigated that house for like 6 hours, not getting anything. And, you know, I was a genius once again. You know, when things get really dark, you know, that's when I'm at my very best. So I decided to send Becky and Butch in the house alone while I sat out at Tech and had coffee. And Becky in the house alone, this, you know, Tramp, I laid on that bed daring this thing, this Jason guy, to hold me down, to choke me. And you know I weigh 220 pounds every day of the week.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Another member of my group weighs close to 300. Nothing happened. Becky weighs 120. The bed collapsed within 3 seconds. We got it on video documentation under Full Spectrum.
Oh, wow.
Was a paranormal. I'm not really sure at that time, but we wrapped up our investigation by putting Becky in the shower as well. She was in the shower and said, you know, Jason, if you're the one, you know, attacking and pushing Molly in the shower and scratching and scared the hell out of her, you know, if you think you're that big and bad, come in the shower and do it to me. And this is another one. I'd love to share this EVP with you. All of a sudden, this nasty voice come over our recorders, and we got Becky out of the house, and it had a lot of profanity, so I really can't say that, but it just came over, why are you messing with me? It did not like Becky. This thing was a bully, and since there was no guy in the house to protect her, this thing was going right after her, just the same way he did this guy's wife. She wasn't crazy after all. At the end of the investigation, I looked at her and I gave her a hug and I said, I am so sorry for ever doubting anything you ever said. You know, Becky's my partner, and I watched her get attacked from tech. Some paranormal investigating is different than ghost hunting.
Well, the question I have, Harold, the question I have is, was this entity, was it a guy who was abusive and the wife killed him or something? I mean, yeah.
No, he committed suicide down in the basement. But listen, his ex-wife had restraining orders against him. His girlfriend had restraining orders because he beat the hell out of her. A couple of girls in the neighborhood had restraining orders against him. His own grandmother had a restraining order against him. Everybody was scared to death of him. He was into drugs a lot, a heavy drinker. You know, he was just a son of a bitch from the word go.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people felt bad at all when he finally committed suicide. He used to sit down in the cellar and drink quite heavily. He wrote a little goodbye letter and then killed himself down in the basement. Everybody, including family members, were petrified of that man. And he didn't know what it was like to be in a relationship with a woman that he had to emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically abuse him. And listen, when Ian was in the house, it wasn't so bad. Although he was seeing things, shadow figures and stuff, when Molly was in the house alone, he went right after her every time. We put Becky in the house, you don't go, sonny, you recreate things. I mean, that's part of the debunking. So I just recreated the scene by putting Becky in the house with Butch as the cameraman in total darkness, and Butch is just filming in Full Spectrum. Listen, this thing collapsed to bed within 3 seconds.
So he was a coward. He was a coward in real life, and went after women in real life. And he was a coward after death.
Right. I mean, you could look at Becky. Didn't even go back to the reveal, Tramp. She would not go back in the house for fear of that thing. You know, I'm trying to tell her it's not going to go after you as long as we're all here. But you've seen how that went down. I want no part of that house. Now she, to this day, she's never went back. Here's the amazing thing, Tramp. It took 2 years for that house to go quiet with repeated cleansings and blessings. That house has a life of its own. And sometimes, you know, you and I will talk about ley lines and energy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that house, in the Five Points. There are ley lines that run right through that neighborhood.
Yeah,
this
there
house
are.
Wakes up every, this house wakes up every couple of years. I talked to Ian a couple of weeks ago. The house is awake again. He sent me some pictures. Shared some short stories with me of things that was going on. You know, he wonders if he should sell the house and get out. The house goes quiet, and he thinks everything's okay. You know, it's like Jaws. As soon as you think it's safe to go back in the water, guess what? You know, you're being hunted again.
Well,
isn't it amazing some of these cases that sometimes, Trent, they're never over. They're just never, ever over.
Right. You know? I've got some ideas.
You got me telling ghost stories. You know, it's after 11 now.
Yeah, it's after 11. Yeah, I know. I told you we can run over if you want to. That's just fine.
Well, can I put a shout out to your fans?
Go for it.
Somebody take me out to see Bigfoot. I want to see Bigfoot. I'm dealing with all these damn ghosts. I want to see Bigfoot. I'm into Bigfoot. I want to get a Bigfoot statue for the front garden, and I'm not allowed. But I want one, all
right? Right.
You know? So we got to talk about Bigfoot sometime, all right?
Well, we can talk about Bigfoot sometime, but that spoils the mood right now.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, everybody wants to talk about ghosts. I want to talk about Bigfoot.
It's that time of year to talk about the ghosts, man. And last Halloween, I didn't have anything Halloween related. I had some good shows, but you know, I didn't have anything Halloween. But this
well,
year,
you know what I do on Halloween, right? I mean we're ghost hunters, paranormal investigators. We end the year. I have two lines going up the driveway with fog machines. I have a cemetery, a bunch of animatronics. The house is lit up, the light-o-rama dances to music, and I play videos. And I have an adult line with jello shots and beer, and I have a kid's line with candy. And it's just from the time the sun comes up, October 31st, until I go to bed at night sometime well after the trick-or-treaters left, it's just, it's a festival here. I have so much fun on Halloween. You know, I have since I was a kid, if that makes any sense.
We've done those haunted house thingies where we got the whole family to get together and we picked somebody's house that we just built all the stuff in the basement and all that, and we'd have people go through the house for the haunted house and all that. But we haven't done that the last few years. Basically because all the kids in the family from the kids that were kids back in the day, now that they've got their kids, we take them trick-or-treating. And out here in Millbury, you can literally take a whole pillowcase and walk down the street and stop at every single driveway because everybody takes their fire pit and sits it out there, and they sit there, and there's tons of candy. And I'm telling you, you could get yourself an entire pillowcase full of candy.
Halloween is right below Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, all this stuff going on. Yeah, Halloween time, October is a great time of the year. You know, it's fall, the leaves are changing, the weather's getting. I love a good fire pit, and I also like a cold beer once in a while and a great ghost story. That being said, I still will not watch horror movies. I still don't like Ghost Trap. I don't care for it.
You gotta watch Svengoolie. I mean, I've had Svengoolie on Black. Well, he was on Swamp Gas, but You know, Svengoolie does the old time horror movies, and you know, like the Wolfman was last week. You know, and
who was the guy out of
and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, oh, I love him. And Vincent Price. Who was the guy out of Cleveland, Tramp, years ago on a set? The Ghoul.
The Ghoul.
Come on, Saturday night. Yeah, my older brother used to make me watch those B horror movies, and I would just be petrified. I couldn't even watch the Legend of Lizzie Borden without it scaring me. Right?
Yeah.
You know, horror movies always. I think I was scared of it. To this day, I still don't. I'm reading your chat board. You had I should have been looking up. You had a lot of great questions. You have a real knowledgeable audience. You know that.
Yeah, I do. I gotta give a shout out to my audience, and I gotta give a shout out right now. I'm gonna give a shout out to Dead in Five and SJ Tucker for letting me use their music. You know, Black Swamp Ride and Dream of Mississippi are the two songs that I use. And I think I'll shout out to somebody else. Go ahead.
I think that being said, I'll get off the air for me and let you get on with your life. But well, hey, I want to thank you for asking me to come on again.
Well, tell us.
I want to thank all your fans and your listeners. Okay.
Tell us how to find you again before you leave.
This is important to me because I'm a very experienced ghost hunter and I fear nothing. Okay. I mean, if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
Yeah.
I have a great group. Hey, here's the thing, Tramp, and this is what we all need to know. On a serious note, all the stuff that we're doing, as busy as we are, this is great. Get an opportunity to spend an hour with you, in the swamp. Years ago, I wasn't offered these things. And I can't tell you how appreciative I am to you. And you know what? Quite frankly, I enjoy your company. I'm watching all these chats, all these people there, and I want to thank them personally. And listen, if you want to follow the Toledo Ghost Hunters, there's a bunch of groups out there, but if you want to follow a bunch of old farts that's been around forever, go to the Facebook page. That's the easiest way, Tramp. If you get on Facebook, if you type in Toledo Ghost Hunters Society, you'll find it. Obviously, my name's Harold. My other founder is Butch Leon. Give it a like while you're there. And if nothing else, comment. And I'm not afraid of some of these comments. If you think I was horrible tonight, get on the Facebook and say, Harold, you were absolutely horrible, and I hope Tramp never invites you back on. But if you did like something, or you want to talk, you want to follow what we're doing, jump on the Facebook. And from there, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. You can find my website. You can find my phone numbers. You can get to Twitter from there. I think Facebook's probably the easiest way. If you just type into the Ohio Ghost Hunter Society, give it a like while you're there and follow what we're doing. We have a lot of presentations coming up. Every presentation's got 8 to 10 spooky stories, and I'm going to share them to the best of my ability. We'll talk about them. We'll open up at the end with questions. And you might get a chance to win a T-shirt or a tote bag or something. And that's bull crap, because I still owe you a T-shirt from the college.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that T-shirt there, son.
Listen, I'm not going to say the name of the company that we get them from. We got our tote bags last week. But they said it's going to be another week for the shirts, does not make me happy.
I wanted to let you know the tote bag that you gave me, I gave it to Willow, and she took it to school.
That's awesome. Ghost things are a lot of fun. We give them away in all of our presentations. The other thing I want to say, of all the things that's going on, I want to remind you, because I heard something else this week that I was not happy about. Some of our presentations, we charge a small fee for my lectures and obviously Owens Community College gives me a little something.
You got to get something for your time.
But listen, somebody told me the other day there's a group here that charges gas money to go on private investigations for clients, personal houses and stuff. And one thing throughout this Halloween season, I want everybody to collectively do this. If you hear of a society or a paranormal group that charges one penny to help a client out with a possible haunting, tell that client, close that door, throw them off your property. It's just not right. Tramp, it takes money to buy equipment and does stuff. And that's why you do these presentations. That's why I'm instructing those. It's a lot of fun, but we make a few pennies for doing it. I would never in my life ever charge you. If you called me and said, hey, Harold, there's something going on in the house and my wife or my granddaughter's afraid, we think we need your help. Champ, you may serve me a cup of coffee while I'm there, but if I charge you one penny, that is just plain wrong. Mm-hmm. There is no charge. Now, there is no charge at all for helping a client out. And there's other groups now that may be doing that, and I don't want to get into names or places, but
there's a
huge difference between ghost hunting, paranormal investigating, and I think that's what I really wanted to get out tonight, and I thank you for allowing me to do so. We're going to talk with you, and I'll talk probably tomorrow, won't we?
We can talk tomorrow, and you know, at some point, if you want to come out here for whatever and check the ghost part out, or just hang out at the fire pit.
You don't want me to come out. I'll sit under your fire pit. I'll drink all your beer.
I drink scotch, dude.
I found that actually a good scotch the other day that I kind of like somebody offered me a drink. Hey, geez, I'm going to be 60 years old. Never had that. It was good to learn something new every day about scotch.
Yeah.
I think I should put you off the air.
You can listen to us on Facebook Live. All right.
Are you
going to
post this?
Yeah.
Are you going to post this the next couple days?
Huh? What?
Are you going to post this the next couple days?
I'm going to post it in the morning.
Okay, I get up every morning and follow you. You know what? Isn't that funnier now? I get up in the morning and pour myself coffee. I want to see what Chris Tillman's doing. Joe and Jen from Tutu Paro. Oh wait, I got to see what Tramp's up to. You guys are like family of mine now, for God's sake.
Well, I can certainly go off the deep end about some of the things that I post there.
I know you do. I watch your videos. I'm afraid to comment because I might open up a whole big can of whoop ass.
You don't have to be afraid to comment anything. Nobody has to be afraid to comment anything. Everybody's welcome. Everybody can come and talk. The only key word in a chat room, and that's because it's a moderated chat room, is respect. As long as you're respectful, you're welcome in that chat room. You can say anything that's on your mind as long as it's respectful. And otherwise, the moderators will take care of it because I can't deal with the chat room and talk to you at the same time.
What I admire most about you, Tramp, is your honesty. Whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, you speak from the heart. You're very knowledgeable, but it doesn't mean I have to. It's kind of like ghosts. We don't have to agree with everything. No, absolutely not. So I know I give you a hard time, but you obviously know how much I respect you, and I am just tickled that you and I can call each other friends. That's what these things, what you do and what I do, has brought us together. And our paths are now crossing, and I think it's a great thing, right?
I appreciate all the kind words, man. And so you have a good evening. And just hang on. Don't hang up, okay? Just close out the show. Huh?
Hey, can I say something going off the air?
Go ahead.
Everybody be safe. The veil is closing. There's a measure of truth to all that. Be respectful, be honest, be kind, and happy hauntings to everybody. And I hope to see you on Facebook or some other avenue through social media. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. I mean, thank you, Harold, for being here. And you can find him on Facebook, and you can find him at his other websites he talked about. It was a good show. I liked the show. I'm happy with the show, and Dream of Mississippi is taking us out of here. Y'all have a good one. Be well. Be safe. Until next week, I will see you. Bye.
Magic finds us kicking up the dust along the road. Silence travels farther than a story often told. Vagabond I've been, and vagabond I'll always be. Running down the devil at every crossroads that I see. I never thought to be called back to a home that I outgrew. But the summer's gone, the call is strong, and there's something I must do. Thought I knew all the stories that a southern girl could know. There's a dream of Mississippi. Wish my heart were dead, too tired to even cry. When missing him is all I do, the days all pass me by. Like these dreams of Mississippi and these ghosts who cannot lie. Oh, this ring rests on my finger like a vivid on a wall. And whispers gather round me, come to dance.